Welcome to Cybermania, Cyber Talks with the brightest minds in cybersecurity. Discussing risks, AI, emerging threats, workforce challenges, and more. With your host, May Brooks.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Cybermania. With me today is a good friend, a wonderful podcaster, Rotem Barr. Rotem, how are you today?
I'm great. Thank you so much, May.
Yeah, it's... Well, we had a discussion yesterday on something completely different. And I said, wait a minute. Why have you never been on my podcast? I'm on your podcast every few weeks.
Yes.
And that's...
You're one of my panelists, the ongoing panelist in my podcast in Hebrew. And I'm shocked that you haven't invited me here.
Because usually I try to invite people I don't know, but I decided today to invite someone I do know because I don't think I know everything. I don't think I know everything. So now
let's explore
I'm going to change that. Yes, so as always, we'll start this conversation with you telling us a little bit about you, yourself, and your crazy story in cybersecurity.
So I'm working on cybersecurity something like around 25 years, maybe 26, around that. And I was always working on security, on the development of software and infrastructure. And it was always a mix for me. Like, I really like technology, and cyber was something that I can, you know, go into it with both hands. Something really, really good, because it have so many different challenges that no other thing have. Except now AI, obviously.
Which is another podcast, but that's
A
whole different story.
A whole different story. And what happened here is that I'm working all my life in tech, and cybersecurity provide me the ability to work with tech and people. It's like mixture together, and that bring me to something really, really nice, and I really enjoy wake up in the morning and says, I work in cyber.
Yeah, so that's amazing. And I think that your passion is something that we both share, this passion for this industry. And it is something that has been very evident in your career throughout its entire path. This is the podcast that we do, the AI podcast and the Cyber with Friends podcast is something that it's not your first podcast. You had a podcast before. So you've been basically contributing to this community for so many years. So can you tell us a little bit about what first even initiated that idea of giving back and teaching and doing a podcast and other things that you do?
Well, I think in the last 15 years now, I'm lecturing almost all the time for students regarding cybersecurity. And I really like to make the session enjoyable for everyone. That means that I add personal stories that I have been dealt with, weird stories, you know, the things that if you work in the industry, you have some. And I really enjoy to tell people what to do, how to do it, and teach them new ways of thinking, change their mind. You know, one of the biggest thing I teach people is change the mind of what you think a CISO is. Most people think that a CISO is one thing, but in the end they go to work and they see it's a completely different thing. And in most cases, it needs to be third thing, obviously. So what I really want to do was tell them what is need to be done, change their minds to something much better than what they thought they need to be done.
That is fantastic. And you've been a CISO in various companies from small to very big companies.
Yes, very big ones.
Very big companies. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of employees worldwide and plants and critical, well, not critical infrastructure, but critical assembly lines and things like that. What is the biggest challenge that you see when you look, because you've been in different industries and you've been in the tech industry and the finance industry and the, let's call it traditional OT industry. What are some of the differences that you see in the perception of cybersecurity in different industries?
I think the biggest thing in perception is people take cybersecurity in the way that it's not supposed to be taken. It's like a pill, you know, you need to take it in the morning, but you take it afternoon. But you need to take it in the morning, sir. So cybersecurity is the same. You need to take it in a different way. Most people see cybersecurity as something that constrains you. tell you what not to be done. Things that said, you know, there's rules, regulation, policies. It's the words that says, stop doing everything. Like, listen to me, man. You cannot do that. It's like the you know, the New York policeman says, put your hand on the wheel.
Nope.
Yep, exactly. So I think cybersecurity is different. As I think the way that we see now cybersecurity with all the changes that we have, it's an amazing industry that change all the time, is that now we have all the knowledge, all the technology, and all the people that actually do things differently. And when I say differently, I'm definitely going to the way that cybersecurity is something that inhibit work, go to be an enabler, like business enabler, work enabler. And I always think about, you know, when we talk with old people, and old people generally fear about giving their credit card over the phone, mm-hmm. or in an app. But we are the youngsters.
We're not the youngsters anymore, dear.
We're not the youngsters anymore. There is so many apps that have my credit card because I trust them and I understand what is the risk regarding how to manage that risk. And they don't know how to manage that risk, and that they block everything. So I think that regarding that, and when we see cybersecurity, and an app is a good idea, because if you trust an app because of its cybersecurity, because of whatever they are doing right, this is something that can help the business. And this is from the outside, not even talking about from the inside, okay?
Yeah.
The inside is a different story altogether.
Yeah, it is. And in one of our previous conversation, we talked about your time in an OT environment. And you gave a great example about how, I won't say you managed to actually measure the ROI of cybersecurity, but you did manage to change the perception of upper management and how they perceive cybersecurity from a monetary point of view.
Okay, so there is a few stories. I'm gonna share one, okay? There is one story that I've gone to do a risk assessment to a company that have a lot of old equipment, like a lot of old equipment. And I've done all the risk assessment, you know, risk assessment, everything bad, 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 worse, terrible, critical,
especially
things
OT.
Like that. Yeah, exactly. And I go to the CEO, and he talked with me, he says, okay, I understand there is a lot of problems, there's a lot of gaps here. What can I do? And I told him, listen, the first thing you need to do is understand that it's going to cost you a lot of money. It's not a simple patch. And I can hear his conversation with himself that everything is running okay. I'm making good money. And this guy in front of me asked me for a lot of money. The body rejected.
I don't like him.
The body rejected everything. And in the end, when I talk with him and explain him, listen, it's not that you have all the old equipment is not optimized, is not working really, really fast. So when you go and have like nothing going to be here in the next 2 weeks or 3 weeks, so let's make like 3-year plan. And in that 3-year plan, let's change things. Let's upgrade the plant. Let's make more money, okay? Use me as a catalyst and not something that says, okay, I need to throw a lot of money because of something called cyber. Don't use that. Use that as something good that we want to invest to get more money, and cyber is only the trigger for that.
I mean, it's the driver. Yeah, and sometimes when we update something or upgrade something to support cyber requirements, we actually get other benefits. And this is something we also talked about, that you had to upgrade some of the endpoints.
Oh,
and they were running really
story.
Slowly.
Yes.
But it's a great story. I wanted to share that story.
Okay, this is the company that actually work at. And we have like an old plant that have batch processing, and the computer was so old, like 10 years old, and it wasn't moving, like the mouse, you know, like moving it, says, just a second, okay, now, like that. And what happened there is that each batch cost them around 30 minutes, around 30 minutes, and the actual work was 10 minutes. So the batch was a lot of computing running, like click here, click there. And because the computer is so slow, they cannot do that. And when I arrive, I start asking the question, okay, this is an old computer. It cannot run the endpoint protection. We need to upgrade that because there is a minimum requirement now. And they said, okay, now cyber have the budget, so let's upgrade the computer. And when they upgrade the computer, instead of making half an hour batch, they work for 10 to 15 minutes batch. So that give them like triple the work on the same thing, only replaced a computer and a small endpoint protection for me.
Yeah, so that is, I love this story because it shows how cybersecurity, I'm not sure you, maybe you did think that this will be a benefit of this upgrade, but sometimes we don't even think that way. And maybe we should start thinking that way, that if we require budget for something, in this case, an upgrade of an endpoint, what are the other benefits? Because if we can try and build a story around the other benefits, our chances of getting that budget increase so much. And
yes,
seen that in, and I've seen it in other, in other organizations as well. I've heard it from other guests. So I think it's a wonderful way to sort of reposition cybersecurity less as a cost center, more of a value creator or a business supporter, not just a business enabler. Because one of the things that I always, we always talk, and we had a lot of conversations around being business enablers and not just being the no people, the department of no, but being the department of which is okay. But it's not just being an enabler. It's being a supporter. We should support the business. If the business wants to go in a in any direction, it doesn't matter which one. And even if we think there'll be a lot of cybersecurity requirements involved in that direction, isn't it our job to find a way to do it and not tell the business, oh no, we can't do that because of this, that, and the other?
You know, let's think about something completely different, okay? Most of the businesses today, like even big business, even big companies, have really problem manage their ongoing task, ongoing procedures, okay? Like really, really problem with that. And as a person that, side story, as a technical guy, to try to talk about things like with human things, like I needed to, you know, like a surgery to
learn,
brain surgery to
learn
implement
how to speak
that
their
for
language.
Me. So today, when I go to a company and I talk with a CISO, and I tell him, okay, you have $100,000, okay? What are you going to do with them? Most of them going to say something regarding technology, okay? And in most cases, they are completely wrong. Completely wrong. Because in most cases, those company has really struggling to manage how their decision making, how they're using, how they manage their exceptions, how they manage their ongoing processes. So if you take this money and put it on the process management thing, it's gonna be much more value to you than any other thing, okay? Even upgrading the firewall, okay? Like that. It's like crazy thing when you take a company and try to formalize it. And yeah. I think one of the biggest thing that cybersecurity can provide to a companies is organization. It can organize thing because cybersecurity hate chaos. Like hate chaos. If you have if you're a cybersecurity specialist, if you're a CISO and you have chaos managing the company, you're doing really bad job. You need to do something really organized. If you don't do that, consult with something that actually someone that actually do that. Ask friend. Talk with May or me. Start with something. But CISO need to be organized. Is the only single person in the company that everyone depends on them that it's everything is organized. And if it's not organized, he need to work extra hours for that.
I couldn't agree more. I remember that when I started doing policies and procedures, I sort of looked down at it because I was a techie. I used to configure the firewalls and do the pen testing, and suddenly they wanted me to write policies and procedures. And I'm like, yeah, I can write whatever. But it doesn't work that way. People used to ask me when I was back in the day when I was a consultant, people asked me, can you give me a set of policies? Yes, I can, but it will be completely irrelevant. For a set of policies today, you don't need me. You need ChatGPT and also for a password management policy, and it will give you a great template for a password policy. But building it, formalizing it, as you called it, to my organization, to this specific organization, to what they can handle and what they can't handle, what
is appropriate. With the culture of the company.
Exactly, with the culture, with the maturity of the company. If I come to a company that never done, and we'll stay with passwords, that doesn't have a password policy or has a very simple password policy, 6 characters, no complexity, whatever, and suddenly I tell them, from tomorrow morning, you have to do 12 characters and high complexity and 2-factor authentication, there will be, what is going on? Have I resigned and joined a new company and no one told me? It's too big of a gap. And I've seen it in awareness as well. People would come to me and tell me, we never had a security awareness program. Now we want to do everything. We want to do this and this and this and that. Wait, you need to learn to walk before you learn to run. You can't just come and bombard people with new policies and procedures and ideas and things and try to take them from year 1 to year 13 in 12 months.
I'm
it doesn't work that way.
Definitely gonna say that the sweet spot of what you said now is starting running with the people and make them understand that security is always changing. So tomorrow morning something new is going to happen. Something new is going to be on their desk. Okay, the password is changing. Now there is a new policy here, policy there, and they're going to accept that. So when we take our organization and people are much more acceptant, that their acceptance rate is much better regarding the security, that CISO is doing a really good job.
Absolutely. And you talked about the technology that always changes. So I try not to say AI in every episode, but I think this time we have to, because I think one of the first conversations I had about security and AI in general, like the acceptance of AI as a trend that is in our lives, I think it was with you.
Let me ask you a question. AI is a cloud, is a cloud-based operation?
Yes and no.
So I'm going to ask you another question.
Okay.
If you go to a company, if you go to a company and you ask them, okay, using any AI, like ChatGPT.
Oh, and they'll say, no.
Are you a cloud user? Are you using cloud-based products?
Yeah. So that's it.
So that question is no more relevant because everything is interconnected, because I have my own infrastructure inside and my semi-own infrastructure outside. So everything is connected.
Exactly. And even if it's not today, even if I don't use cloud per se, if I use a single cloud provider, mm-hmm. I have Microsoft 365, I'm using AI whether I like it or not, because
yes,
they're using. So I want to ask you about this shift, because you adopted AI and we have so many conversations around AI. We're both geeks. I think you're a bigger geek than me. I'm not sure if
thank
it's
you.
A compliment.
I don't know if it's okay, but thank you.
Well, I don't know if it's a compliment. But you started really diving into AI in the early days of, I think it was November 22, right?
Something like that.
November 22.
I actually used OpenML and 10 years ago when I was programming and trying to find similarities in pictures and work with some of those module. But AI as we know that, yes. From that time.
I think that the concept of AI, the concept of AI is not new, but the adoption of AI as like a commodity, that is very new. So what drew you, because you really adopted it in your business as well, in your wife's business as well, as part of the, let's call it tech stack, and you've made this adoption very quickly. What enabled you to do that?
I think the assurance that whatever I do in a secure way. And once you solve that fear, you can run really, really fast. You can be really creative and you can fly. Okay. So I'm gonna give you something even more specific. My wife's business, she have a business treating people with diabetes. And this is like health information. It's like really critical. But she need to work with AI because everything is scaled. Like everything is scaled. What do you do? how can you make the usage of AI secure in one side, but in the way that it's not going to harm those patients, okay? So once you solve that problem, because this is a problem, many people don't know this is a problem, but once you understand it's a problem and you can solve that, like everything going to be much more secure and better, then she can fly and do crazier thing. And she can work with employees, be like GPTs like you know, for specific things, and work, add more automation, and build everything in the company in a way that it's scalable, secured, and can give you the ability to think ahead and not what happened before. And this is what business need to be done.
I agree, but we both done the same for our own business, in your case, for your wife's business as well, which are smaller businesses. Mm-hmm. You also use a lot of automation in the business.
Yes.
I know both your businesses, so it's easy for me to say. It's actually very different to have someone that I know on the podcast. I might start doing that. it's very different. How do you scale that? That I think that with a startup or with smaller companies, family-owned businesses, it's more flexible, especially when you do things from a security point of view. I remember starting my first company, starting Helena back in the day, like the first thing, because I'm a security professional, the first thing was, should I do this or that? This one is more secure. Yeah, it's going to cost me $10 more a year. I don't care. And from day one, I had backups and procedures and policies, some of them written, some of them not, backup policies, restoration, and like everything that you would expect in a big company, because I came from big companies. The question is, can you scale that flexibility, that adoption rate that you can do in your own business, in a smaller business, in a large, and you work again for huge companies, how can you scale that to large environments?
No, ma'am.
No, ma'am. No.
Oh, no,
okay.
Ma'am.
Okay.
Definitely
never mind.
No.
Okay.
Big companies have big problem, big procedures, big decision making. You know, when I was working in a really big company, and we want to use to bring a company that will help us making remote access for computers, that company needed like four months just for integration. Okay, and this is like an easy integration. It's really, really hard when you have like a really big, enormous company. It's like really, really big, really, really hard. So it's not the same. I'm going to say that if you're talking about small and medium businesses, like medium, I think up to 1,000 people, it can be much more easier to do things. Like I'm looking at cybersecurity as binocular, you know, when the CISO, when someone sits with the CISO and says, okay, I can't see, I need to do something, this is the thing I need to do, and the CISO go and adjust the binocular up to the point that you can see clear, and then you can run. There's no problem with security. You can come and ask, listen, I'm not sure it's going to fix you. But once it is adjusted, the binocular, you can see clearly far, far away.
Yeah, well, I agree and I disagree, because I agree about very big companies. I think that it takes some time to even map out where they're vulnerable and where the opportunity lies even. I want to adopt a new technology. And in this case, we talked about AI, but I think it's true for any new initiative. We have the same. We still have many companies that do not utilize automation to the extent that they can, which is a shame in my eyes. But
even for the minimum that they can.
Yeah, like for a lot of people, they think the only thing I can do with automation is email sequencing. No. Absolutely use it for email sequencing. It will make your life much easier. But no, you can do so much more with automation. But when we're talking about medium-sized companies, sometimes they're afraid to take a decision. And I've talked to a colleague a few months ago, like maybe 2 months ago, and they decided as CISOs to block AI altogether. And I looked at him and I was like, dude, we tried that back in the early 2000s to block the internet, to only have like white lists, and it didn't work. Why? What makes you think it will work today? Like last night, my daughter comes up to me and tells me, Mom, do you know this AI tool? And she showed me the AI tool, and I'm like, no, never heard of it. And she wanted me to buy her the premium account. So I was looking at it and had to go into, there's an AI for that, find the alternative, see which one is best. The one she had is actually fantastic, so I decided to buy it for content revision and everything for her schoolwork. And they actually blocked it at school. And I was like, why? Why? It's a tool, but it's impossible to block AI. How will I block AI?
You know, I've talked with a friend of mine. He's a CISO of a really big bank, like 2 weeks ago. And he told me, listen, we blocked all the AI that can be work. We have a special landing zone for ChatGPT, and I provide that specific account or account or accounts to specific people that actually need this for their work, but that's it. Like a really small scale. And I'm over the phone with him and says, okay, but you understand that they don't need the computer to use AI. And he says, what do you mean? They literally picture the screen and send it to AI, and he tell them what he sees and now ask the question. And he's like, oh,
yeah,
I didn't thought about that one. So yes, it's AI is everything. And when we see the publication and the events that Microsoft, the Google and Apple are giving now, like everything is AI. If like 2 years ago, it's like a small AI, and last year it's like some, you know, AI. This year, everything is AI. Like, I think Microsoft is going to change their name to Microsoft AI or something, and Google AI or something. It's like that crazy. And
it's not a trend. I don't think it's a trend. I think it's really a revolution.
Do you know how do you understand that this is a really revolution that's going to stay? Because AI, it was a buzzword 2 years ago, and now the next buzzword is MSP. Okay, it's also connected to AI. Mm-hmm. So we understand that even the next buzzwords is connected to the same.
To AI.
Yeah. So that's
so
crazy.
So if anyone listening to us hasn't adopted the AI into their lives yet, what advice would you give them?
How to I will strike? Definitely tell them that AI is a game of data. Okay? It's not about the process of the data, but the data, where the data lays. Where the data rest? So if you using AI, you want to understand that you need to provide it a lot of information. He need to store that information and then retrieve it for you. Okay. Leave the part about the processing. Okay. Because this is something that is critical for big businesses. It's not critical for small and medium. Okay. And let's talk about the specific regulation like HIPAA and something like that. But specific talk about, let's talk about the storage. The storage itself, we can, if we are using ChatGPT, like free ChatGPT or free Gemini or whatever, we don't control that storage. It's there for us, but it's also there for them to use. Okay?
Yeah.
So it's okay if you have homework and you upload that homework and it's you help them with that, no problem with that. But if you upload your information, where you live, what you do, credit card, we're not going to save in credit card, but information about your family, specific information about you,
medical
that can be
information
used.
That I saw people
yes.
upload. Yeah.
That can be used again if someone asks ChatGPT or Gemini, he will give them your information because you gave them to that information. So you cannot control this information. I understand that today there was a nice commercial that people sent me like 2 years ago in Germany, that nice couple taking picture of the kids and published online. And after a few days, they like it was harming the kids because they build a module about the kid. Mm-hmm. And now they know how they're going to be growing up, and crazy, crazy thing. We're not talking about that. Like, this is like completely different thing. We're talking about actually your data. And this is what's crucial. Every business is different. Every business need to see different risks. For example, I have a brother that is a lawyer, and I integrated on his system an application that back up all this information to five different clouds, all encrypted. So if whatever is going to happen, he's going to have at least one backup. And that system also have the ability to see how many changes that were done. So for example, if more than 5% have been done daily, he's going to stop the backup and says, listen, I think there's ransomware here. Yeah. Yes.
Fantastic. Fantastic. I will share that at the end of today's episode, I'm going to upload a little nugget that Rotem created because he knows that I love security awareness and phishing. And like, if you really want to make my day, send me like a sophisticated phishing email or fraud or whatever. That these are things that make my day. I'm now researching one that is fantastic. I'll share with you later. It's really good. It's like so sophisticated. I love it. So Rotem created a song for us for phishing and security awareness, and I'll put it at the end because Rotem creates a lot of songs. Actually, you should share your entire album.
My album. It's called Cyber Vault Zero. It's an album only about cybersecurity, and that album literally I took my brain out and put it over there. There is a lot of things that I shared over there. Some people tell me like, oh my God, no one talked about that. Okay. Like the Cyber Maze, for example, it's a song about
one of my favorites.
How everything today is a certificate. And in the end, people need to work to understand how things working. So I have I think the best and most famous song I have in the album called The Clueless CISO. Okay, it's a country song about a CISO that doesn't know that he's been hacked. Yes, it's a lot of fun.
And I'll put the link to the album at the bottom of this episode. I think people in the cybersecurity community will enjoy it. Only for those who think that cybersecurity is not creative. Yes, we can be very creative, especially with AI, because I don't know how to draw, but I make beautiful pictures using AI. So
I'm just going to say, I have wrote the lyrics. AI only done the music.
Composition, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's fantastic and it's a lot of fun. And every episode of Cyber with Friends and AI with Friends, we deal with a new song. So thank you for creating that, because it's always a lot of fun listening to those songs. Fantastic. Rotem, you know that every time we finish one of these episodes, we have a very quick round of pop quiz. Short questions, short answers, whatever comes to mind. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
You're ready. I'm going to make your life harder.
A cow, no.
If you hadn't chosen a career in tech, what would you be doing today?
Probably something related to creativity. I like to write. I like to compose songs. I like to create things, like creativity. I think I was a writer for some, I don't know, Star Trek novel, something
and
like that.
And then AI would have stolen your job. See?
It was inside the novel.
Okay.
I was predicting that.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Make a cybersecurity prediction for the next 5 years.
For the next 5 years? Wow. I think that companies will adopt an AI CISO.
AI CISO, like a specialization?
Yes.
Yes.
I
like that. I like that. Okay. We'll explore that in one of our next conversations. Okay.
No problem.
If you could describe your cybersecurity journey in one word, what would it be?
Fun.
The only way to say that.
I really like working on cybersecurity, and I think that cybersecurity can be really rewarding regarding how you manage the daily work. If you stuck on the same thing over and over, you're not doing something good. Cybersecurity need to exploit your mind.
Name someone who opened a door for you in your career when you least expected it.
Wow. I'm gonna say a guy called Arye Zuckerman.
I don't know him.
You don't know. He's not in the cyber security world, and he believed me in when I was really really young. And he's one of my mentors. He's I think that today is a developer for C++ or something, and he was my manager for a few years and in OT integrator. And the way that he saw things in life was something that gave me so much inspiration. And he opened not once, but two doors for me in my life. And I'm really, really glad that I've met him.
Last but not least, if you could go back in time, what piece of advice would you give your younger self?
No problem. Buy NVIDIA stock.
And buy crypto, buy Bitcoin, buy NVIDIA.
You know, a funny story about crypto. In 2008, 2009, and I was a geek on that time, really, really heavy geek. And someone invented
different than now.
Completely. And someone invented like a screen server, like Sati, that when the computer is on screen server, is mining for cryptos. And I mined like a crypto cost like a night. Every night it was a one Bitcoin, okay?
Yep.
And I've done that for at least a month or two, okay? But that's it. This is the last time I've sold that Bitcoin, and the computer hard drive, it's all gone. And today I'm going to say, don't throw it away. Don't throw it away.
Yes, so that's two pieces of advice. Fair enough. Yeah. Lotem, thank you so much for joining me today. It was a pleasure. I will have you back on the show because we only touched not even the tip of the iceberg. There are so many other things that we can and we will talk about. So thank you for joining me. And for those listening, don't forget to subscribe. And I hope to see you here next time on Cybermania.
Cybermania. Bye.